This week we have the incredible privilege to read Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach is a story which is familiar to many of us, but no matter how many times we learn it, we can't seem to escape the incredible feelings of sadness and tragedy over the terrible dispute which arose within the ranks of the Jewish people. Korach, a cousin of Moshe Rabbeinu, leads a rebellion against the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, ostensibly because he feels that Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps inappropriately gave out leadership positions, making himself the prophet, giving his brother Aaron the high priesthood, as well as other family members different positions of prominence. Korach feels passed over. Korach felt that he was perhaps gypped from his own leadership position and therefore foments a rebellion against the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says to Moshe, "Kulam kidoshim, we're all holy. Who made you better than anyone else? Who says you're holier than anyone else?" And Korach goes ahead and launches this incredibly tragic uprising. Tragic because Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Torah tells us, was the humblest of all men. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want power. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want glory. Moshe Rabbeinu had absolutely no interest for any of this. Remember, we can never forget the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is the leader because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God forced him to be the leader. God drafted him into leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want it. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, understanding that he could not reason with Korach and his followers, says, "Listen, if I am correct and I am the truly appointed leader by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Aaron is the true high priest, a miraculous event will occur. The earth will open up and swallow up all of those who have rebelled. And if I am wrong, if I have lied, if at the end of the day I have seized power of my own volition, then ultimately, again, the earth won't open up." And we know the story. The earth opens up, swallows up Korach, 250 of his followers and their families as well. And there are many lessons to be learned from this particular episode. The primary lesson, of course, is the destructiveness of machlokes, the destructiveness of infighting, of dispute with one another. As a people, we embrace differences of opinion. As a people, we believe that we don't all have to think the same way, believe the same way, and practice the same way. We have our own disputes. We have different interpretations, different understandings, and different ways of life, even within the intent of Judaism. But even when we disagree, we have to disagree agreeably. Even when we have machloksin, even when we have disputes with one another, it must always be with a smile. It must always be with midos, with proper character traits and behaviors. We can never, God forbid, compromise or trample upon the dignity of the other. We can disagree. We can have differences of opinion, but we must always do so with proper courtesy and proper dignity for the other. Korach didn't do this. Korach doesn't just rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, but he attempts to engage in a process of character assassination. Korach goes ahead and attributes the most sinister of motivations to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the most humble of all men, Moshe Rabbeinu, the man who had given up so much for the sake of the klal, is maligned, besmirched, and trampled upon by Korach. If Korach had questions, or Korach had difficulties, or Korach had issues, there was a way to raise them. There was a way to discuss them. There was a way to bring them to the forefront. The Torah teaches us about the destructiveness of machlokes, the destructiveness of infighting. As I said before, we have the ability to have our differences of opinion. We do not have to be the same, look the same, practice the same, believe the same, but we have to disagree agreeably. We have to know how to have a machlokes without the negativity. We have to know how to have differences of opinion without being caustic towards one another. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is that when a person consistently quarrels and is a bal machlokes, always engaging in dispute and angry dispute with others, it doesn't just have an impact upon you, but it has impact upon your mishpacha, upon your family as well. Rashi makes a startling observation that when Korach and his followers are swallowed up by the earth, their families are swallowed up as well. Because where one of the members of a family is steeped in machlokes, is steeped in negativity, constantly fighting, that has a ripple effect upon the other members of the household as well. machlokes, infighting, angry dispute, does not only impact the disputants, but it impacts their families as well. Lesson number three. As much as we learn from the parsha, the need for, Lesson number three is the need for shalom. And the need not just to be a person of peace, but as the Mishnah Maseches Avos says, Heve mitamidav shel Aaron, be of the disciples of Aaron, Oev shalom, love peace, Rodev shalom, run after peace. Many of us love peace, but if there's one thing you know about peace, there's one thing you know about shalom, is that it doesn't just show up at your doorstep. You have to work hard to achieve it. You have to work hard to allow it to actualize. Even after Korach attacks Moshe Rabbeinu, even after Korach maligns Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu runs after them to try to make peace. Peace is often elusive because we're not truly willing to run after it. If a person wants shalom in life, shalom with your family, shalom with your community, shalom with your people, shalom with your neighbors, more often than not, it's not going to come and find you, but you're going to have to go and run after it. Moshe Rabbeinu, even after suffering at the hands of Korach, runs after those who hurt him in an effort to make shalom. But there is one last fifth lesson. And that lesson is that as important as it is to make shalom, as important as it is to be a person of peace, there does come a point in time when we have to draw our line in the sand with those who are acting inappropriately and negatively and to say no more. A little bit later on in the parsha, after Moshe Rabbeinu makes an attempt to run after Korach and Dasan and Abiram, all of his disputants, and they go ahead and they rebuff his efforts. They say, lo na'ala, we're not even going to talk to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, get out of here. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God. This is in chapter 16, verse 15. Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry and he says, Hashem, do not even pay attention to their offerings. I never took anything from them. I never harmed anything from them. So you see something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu tried to make peace. But then when his efforts were rebuffed, he draws his line and he says, Ribono shel Olam, please do not allow, do not accept their offerings. What does that mean, do not accept their offerings? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, these people, unfortunately, have no place in the collective. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, I tried to make peace, but at this point in time, Korach and his followers, unfortunately, are negatively impacting all of those around them. And if left unchecked, this could, chas v'shalom, God forbid, undermine the very spiritual and moral underpinnings of the people. So God, please, I'm asking you, do not accept their offerings. And unfortunately, they have to be cut off. And lessons four and five are truly two sides of the same coin. Because in life, the first thing I have to do is be a rodev shalom. The first thing I have to do is I have to pursue peace. And even when peace is running away from me, I have to try to pursue it and try to find it. And even if I've been wronged, I have to try to take the higher road, be the bigger man, and at the end of the day, try to make peace. But when there are negative influences within our lives, sometimes those negative influences may even be within our family. Sometimes they're in our community. Sometimes they're right within my Dalet Amos, my immediate proximity. If I can't make shalom, sometimes I have to create a separation. Sometimes there has to be that line of demarcation. Sometimes the toxicity of certain relationships is so intense that where reconciliation is impossible, separation may be an absolute necessity. But the progression is very important. First, we try to make shalom. First, we try to make peace. First, we try to engage. First, we try to build bridges. First, we try reconciliation, and only when that is impossible and the status quo is toxic and negative, then unfortunately we create lines, we create separations, and unfortunately there are times when we must build walls and separate ourselves from the negative sources, the negative relationships, and the negative people that sometimes seek to bring us down. These are the lessons of Parshas Korach. You know, sometimes from our ancestors, we learn what to do. Sometimes we learn what not to do. Korach was a good man. Korach was a righteous man. But unfortunately, once he fell into the clutches of ego, selfishness, he allowed himself to be caught up in the maelstrom of machlokas. Moshe Rabbeinu, the hero of the story, tries so hard to make shalom. Just like his brother Aaron, both of them spent their lives, not just loving peace, but pursuing peace. But in that moment where peace was not possible, Moshe Rabbeinu erects the wall. Moshe Rabbeinu draws the line in order to preserve his spirituality and the spirituality of his people. Let us internalize these lessons. Let us hopefully try to the best of our ability to build bridges, to make shalom, and to avoid the pitfalls of machlokas. Wishing everyone a wonderful evening and a good Shabbos.